Jasmine.
She's not on yet.
Hello, how are everybody? How's everybody doing?
It's just me and you right now.
Hi, they haven't come on yet.
Oh, okay.
Be sure you let me know when we're going to see each other so I can have those books for you that you wanted.
Yeah, I might be in Lake Charles this afternoon. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, I'm not planning on leaving today, so
okay,
that would be fine. Although the garage door might be down, so if you want to call me when you know, if you are close by, you know, I'll make sure the garage door is open.
Okay, I'll call you.
Okay.
Cody Stoll, good morning.
Hello.
Please join me in singing Anna Bacos. Anna Bacoa, Gedula Chimita, Sati. I said, give me your top study. Kabel Rinat Amfasag Venu Baharenu No Ra Ufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Oche Yehudchal Kevavat Shamrein Nun Gimodalad Yud Kavshin Barhem Taharen Rachame Sikata Tamim Gamlein Petet Reish Saditav Gimel Chasin Kadosh to Yahid Gaye Lam Hapene Zo Prekidu Shadah Yukimalan Kuf. The letters of the month of Elul, the letter Resh, that created the planet Mercury, the planet Kohav, and the Yud, that created the constellation Betulah, the Virgo. Together, the Resh and the Yud have a gematria of 210, which is the same gematria as the Hebrew word Redu, meaning to go down, as in Abraham went down to Egypt, as in Hashem comes down during the month of Elul to make Teshuvah easier for us. Shavatenu Kabel, Ishmasiya Katenu, Yodea, Talumo, Shinkufav, Sadiyatah. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. It will now separate between the right column and the left column of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Heheywayo. Adonai Heheywayo. El Rachum Gachanun Erech Apayim Gerav chesed ve'emet. Nafse chesed la'alafim. Nafse avon wa'fesha. V'chata'av zinakei. We will now connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar, from Parashah Yitro, Pasuk 29, and I'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kut shabarichu ishkinte bidhilu, er himud hilu, hilu, er himu, le'akta l'shem yud hei b'vav hei, v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, Lasok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Adenu Konenei Aleinu Maasei Adenu Konenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tameinan Dekutcha Puritu Koma Diaved Le'ela Witzata Tolai hu kishot yovada dichot, velei lach mila di alma, divae barnash, vedach yaleya minei aulan haga, veya kalana dehakulu ovada dichot inun utolait spirit. The energy of the year 5778, our current year, is to bow to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy in the Tanakh. The first that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6.
Vayishkav Amnon, Vayitchal Vayavo, Amelech Liroto, Vayomer Amnon, El Hamelech Tavo, Natamar, Achoti Utlabev, Le'enei Shetei Levivo, Vievremi Adah.
The second verse that connects to this energy is from Psalms, chapter 32, verse 5.
Katati odiacha, wawoni lo kisiti, amarti ode ale peshai, ladonai hei hei wayo. We atana sata awon khatati sela.
The year 5777 has the energy of the goats and of the wake-up call. There are two verses that connect to this energy as well. The first verse we study is from Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52.
So tzaduni katsipor, o yevaitinam.
When we take the first letters of these words, we can create saski ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we can permute them into Bir Yam, which translates to the Sea of Penance. The second verse that connects to this year, this energy, is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tashinayim Zion. The letters of this name are separated by seven letters each.
Kim va Adonai, Yohe wahe, Elohechem tadevaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776. As the energy of the pause, there are two verses that connect to this energy as well. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34 is the first of the two that we study. Raka kohanim ha'yulimat v'lo yachlu l'hashit et kol ha'olot v'yahasum. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai he he wayo, la la he wawawa, yo la yo, la la me he he he, ata a, prekacha. The second verse is from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidhu Adonai, hey, hey, wayo. Ade ad ki deya, yo, hey, Adonai, hey, hey, wayo. Dur olami. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. This next verse we study is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, Mikol ha-machazoiya Asher yitabei sham Wishatem Eilai omachom Wehalachti Yitem Wehayayim Yeshno Varetz Vehipasti Oto Bekol alvei Yehuda. The third verse is from Job, chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetsa yoved ro'av yom ru'ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse that connects to this energy. It is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Kosam timakom le'ami le'Yisrael Imzati v'shamakam Tachtam v'lo yirgas Od v'lo yosifu V'lo avla la'anoto Kasher barishona. We will now connect to the 72 names of God utilizing the technique and tool of saying the letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Hey Zayom Walada La Awa Heya Yozalame Behe Hey Reyo Heko Me Va awa kalayo la wa wa pehe la nu la ha yo 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 me la he 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 wa nu ta he he a a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo wa wa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nu da anu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he sa a la a re yo a shi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me nu nu wa nu yo ta me be he pe wa yo nu me me yo yo zwa he re he me tsa re wa me be yo he he a nu wa me se yo da me be me nu ko Ayo wa he be wa re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. We will now connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim utilizing the same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me. Me be shi la yo he, anu a ka me ta, he he yo anu da, la he wa he me a, yo ta la me re he, he yo yo he me me, la wa wa ka be yo, la yo wa pe nu la, nu me ha yo he yo, me nu he 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 wa. Nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he be ka a ko me nu da anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za he shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he Sa a la re yo la a la me ta he. Wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me. Nu he a nu wa ta me la he pe a yo. Nu ko me yo re la he pe te me zai re. Wa he be yo a he a la wa me zai yo. Da he be me ka ko a la a he he wa. Ra le he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The meditation that we do during this period of between Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur, the meditation that unifies heart and mind or strengthens that unity. We utilize the same tool. Yo wada, yo wada, hey ya, yo wada, hey ya, wa awa. Yo wada, hey ya, wa awa, hey ya. Yo wada, yo wada, hey ya. Yo wada, hey ya, wa awa. Yo wada, hey ya, wa awa, hey ya. Yo wada, yo wada, hey ya. Yo wada, hey ya, wa awa. Yo wada, hey ya, wa awa, hey ya. Yo wada, yo wada, hey ya. Yo wada, hey ya, wa awa. Yo wada, hey ya, wa awa, hey ya. Yo wada, yo wada, hey ya. Yo wada, hey ya, wa awa. Yo wa da hey wa wa hey. The names of the Tzaddikim who left this day: Rosh Chodesh Bet of Elul, Rabbi Yitzhak ben Rabbi Abraham Shlomo, and Rabbi Yaakov Mizrahi. The Tzaddikim who will leave tonight, or who have left the next night, the next day, the second day of Elul, which starts tonight and is for Monday as well: Rabbi Yitzhak Bar Sheshes, known as the Rivash; Rabbi Gershon Shaul Yom Tov Lipman Heller; Rabbi Avraham Yaakov Friedman of Boyan Lvov; Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Yisrael Hager; and Rabbi Shmuel David Walton. In the eighth verse of the Anna Bekoach, we say in a whisper, our class tonight, or today, is continuing our preparation for the Tishrei holidays, and in our preparation for Tishuvah during the month of Elul, as well as the early part of Tishrei, as well as any time in Tishrei. That handout can be found on the Advanced Reincarnation landing page, which is available on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 8, the second column from the left. When that comes down, scroll down to class 5, Slichot. Before we start, does anyone have any questions?
No.
We relate to Hashem in different modes during our process of Teshuvah. One way to relate to Hashem during Teshuvah is as a father to a son, and in reverse, as a son to a father. This is the consciousness that is most prevalent as you finalize your Teshuvah, as you approach Yom Kippur. The father does not expect his son to help him to realize his goals. In a certain respect, he even expects his son to set out on a new path, and is curious to see how his own nuclear potential will find new expression in his son, under different conditions and within a different generation. However, the deepest insult to parents is to forget them. Often, children desire to shake off the ropes that bind them to their parents. This natural inclination is expressed in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Thus a man shall leave his father and his mother, and they shall cling to his wife. As a commentary, this usually takes place in the later part of the teen years, and the reconciliation, the mutual respect of a father to a son and a son to a father is relearned based on the new conditions in the middle to the late 20s. This is just my observation.
continuing to read. For a child to mature, he must necessarily disengage from his total dependence on his parents. For this reason, the Torah commands or suggests to us to always honor our parents. Even though a child must strive for independence, he is obliged to always continue to honor his parents and to give them weight in his life. In Hebrew, the word for honor is kabed, which shares the same root with the word kaved, which means a weight. When a son continues to honor his parents, he gives them weight and recognition, and they remain eternally in his consciousness. Solidity and weight. The words for father, son in Hebrew are av and ben. When these words are written as an abbreviation, they spell out, well, they spell the word Evan, which means or translates as a rock. Thus, the image of a rock creates associations with the father-son relationship. And I would suggest also that you recognize that the father-daughter relationship has aspects of this as well. The two main features of a rock are its solidity and its weight. The father gives his children solidity, firm faith in Hashem and in their heritage. You may have noticed children as they grow, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, start to relate to who they are by where their father is in the hierarchy of human beings. Continuing to read. The children give their father weight. When the father sits at the Shabbat table, surrounded by all of his children, they add potency and mass to his very presence. Our relationship with Hashem. Often a person senses that his main sin is not in actually transgressing, but rather in his ignoring and forgetting Hashem. God forbid. If a person does honest soul searching, he realizes that at a certain point in his relationship with Hashem, he has left him and created his own world, in which Hashem is not the focal point. He has fashioned his world into a fortress, where he can continue to safely live his life far from Hashem, even while performing the mitzvot, without the need to awaken the memory of where he came from and who created him. Pardon us. When we ask Hashem to forgive us, for leaving him out of our lives, we say, Shlach Lanu. The translation is, pardon us. But it has other meanings, deeper meanings, as we will discuss now. The letters of the word Shlach, Samach Lamed Chet, are the same as the word for eradicates. Chazal, deep in his heart, a person knows that he is the one who should be nullified
to atone for his inclination, to nullify anyone who impinges on his private world and demands his attention. We thus beg that Hashem eradicate our haughty feelings of yesh, of being something, and will replace our rigid and contracted heart of stone with a soft, expansive heart that has room in it for another. The letters Samach has the inner meaning of support. Lamed has the inner meaning of teaching. And Chet has the inner meaning of a sin. The word shlach, pardon, or cleanse is another aspect, can be looked at as support the teachings about sins. Continuing to read. Even the common expression, pardon me, points to this concept. When we say pardon me to another person, our intent is to ask the other not to be offended that we infiltrated his world, upsetting his feeling of infinite expansion. In other words, when we ask for pardon, we are expressing sensitivity to the reality of the other, giving him honor and a place in our world on his own terms. One of the teachings I received from Rabbi Berg of the Kabbalah Center touches on this aspect as well. He asks the question, what's wrong with the world? And people will answer with many ways. But what is truly wrong with the world? At the innermost essence of our being is that we're not alone. What's wrong with the world is that you are in my world. Which means you limit me. When that is truly understood, one can begin to cleanse that haughtiness, that perception that you are not me, and therefore, let me rephrase that. One can eliminate the perception that you are not me and replace it with the concept of you are me. Continuing to read. When we ask Hashem to pardon us or for pardon, when we say, pardon me to Hashem, it's a little different. We ask him to forgive us for not recognizing his all-encompassing place in the world. That is the end of that section of these essays. Does anyone have any questions about what I've said so far?
No.
The next section is another way for us to relate to Hashem is as a king to a servant, or as a servant to a king. And this is the way we perceive him generally on Rosh Hashanah, but it can be at any time during the year. And one of the important difficulties that needs to be dealt with in the 10 days of Teshuvah, the 10 days of awe between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, is to transform our consciousness from that of a servant to a king to that consciousness of being a son or a daughter to the Father. Continuing to read. The king-servant relationship. As we learned in the previous chapter, the father-son relationship is exemplified by the honor and the recognition that the son gives his father. The king-servant relationship is different. The king does not need recognition from his servants, from his subjects. It is even beneath his honor to request it. The king has a master plan. His desires to lead and to actualize and demands of his subjects discipline and obedience. There may be questioning in that obedience, but ultimately, obedience must be reached. Continuing to read. It is specifically when we nullify ourselves to the king that we are able to be part of an endeavor that is beyond our own individual horizon, an endeavor that is a vital goal in the king's master plan. Our discipline and devotion to our lofty and admired king means that we are channeling our lives to ideals above and beyond our personal reality. We understand before whom we live, and our very existence receives meaning and stability in our dependence on the king. We no longer live just for our own narrow and disengaged affairs. Rather, our entire life has a broad and driving purpose which will compel us to give an accounting of our successes and our failures back to Hashem, the King. The sin against the King. To sin against Hashem, our King, is to rebel against him. This rebellion is the demand of our own minute ego to live our limited lives without boundaries. We demand to do whatever we please without considering the big picture, without recognizing, this is an unwritten commentary, without even recognizing that we don't see the big picture, we're not aware it's there. Continuing, how our actions affect not only our own lives, but the lives of those that surround us, and ultimately the divine plan for the entire world. Making Hashem our king. When we relate to Hashem as our king, we realize that only he can extricate us from the complexities of our lives.
and bring us to a plane above and beyond our small personal desires. When we fulfill the King's directives, our lives become meaningful, even when we do not grasp why certain events occur and where they are leading. Our lives have become lives of duty. Through Hashem's directives, Pikudot, to us he connects to us and relates intimately to our lives. Pikida, forgive us. When we ask Hashem, our King, to forgive us, we say, Mechalanu, forgive us. To ask forgiveness of a king is to ask him to forgive a debt that was not paid. The king enters our consciousness from outside our world, demanding and commanding that we fulfill directives that do not always seem relevant to us, to our private lives. He does not expect us to totally identify with his desires and therefore exerts pressure and might. We ask of Hashem to understand our difficult situation created by this pressure. Forgo our debt to him and give us a fresh chance to serve him more properly. Our relationship to Hashem as King is intrinsically a relationship of some distance. When we ask the King to forgive us, we admit to him that we do not have the strength or the courage to stand before him on a constant basis. We ask him to bear with us while we are distant from him, and to be patient with us while we strive to serve him with greater devotion. This is the end of the second section of the way we relate to Hashem. Does anyone have any questions on either of the first two parts? The third part. As a husband to a wife or a wife to a husband, we, the children of Israel, are metaphorically the wife of Hashem. Understand this very well. And this relationship is paramount. The consciousness of this relationship is paramount during Sukkot, while we live in the natural world order of the temporary booth. The husband-wife relationship. When you read the word husband, recognize it can also be a feminine word. And when you recognize the word wife, recognize that this also can be a feminine word. Excuse me, a masculine as well as a feminine word. The sin against one's spouse is the sin of insensitivity, the lack of willingness and openness to actively identify with him or her. What pains a spouse more than anything else
is when the rules are being kept and when consideration for his uniqueness is shown, but there is no real interest in his inner thoughts and deepest feelings. This may happen because of a time limitation. It may happen because of an orientation outward, away from the family, as opposed to an inner orientation towards the family. An outsider might be most impressed with the level of mutual consideration that the couple projects. Deep in his heart, though, the offended spouse desires more than just mutual consideration. He wishes to ascend to a point where he can truly share the intricacies and the intimacies of his soul with his beloved mate. Married life, with its daily frictions and demands, invites one to build walls around the depths of his soul, to define boundaries, and to admit that his spouse is totally different than he and beyond his understanding. Furthermore, he adds, it is her privilege to be just the way she is. This approach is legitimate only if the separations are used as tools to release superficial tension and to unlock one's inner world. If the couple identifies these separations as the strong foundation of their lives together, if they despair of immersion in the inner soul of the other, a persistent inner sadness will erode their feelings of togetherness, and their love for each other will fade. Exploitation and enthusiasm. While the father-son relationship is defined by the tension between disregard and recognition, the relationship between husband and wife is defined by the tension between exploitation and enthusiasm. The spouse expects his mate to relate to him as he is dear to himself. The spouse expects his mate to be excited to meet someone new and different who wants to immerse herself in his very being. The thought that his mate may see him as depersonalized, as an object conveniently placed for use in her life, spiritually kills him. Furthermore, then the spouse fears being exploited with total disregard for his inner experience. He fears exploitation of his inner experience itself. He fears that his awakening toward his spouse and his devotion to her will be met with the cynicism of cool practicality. God is our spouse. When we sin toward God as our spouse, we may remain faithful to his mitzvot without internalizing the experience of him in our lives and without trying to identify with him. We do not meet God with enthusiasm, allowing him to permeate our very being, to enter into our deepest experience, and to transform it. When we don't relate properly to Hashem as our spouse, we also do not truly pray to him. Deep down, we do not believe that he is actually interested in us and in our innermost desires. Cleanse us. This type of sin needs kapara, cleansing. Married life demands continual, detailed cleansing and examination. Even a small insult reveals an internal, practically essential coldness and unwillingness to be overly involved in the world of the other. This coldness descends to the very depths of the other's soul. He feels that his efforts to give of his essence to his mate have been exploited, while his spouse has not awakened in return. On a deeper level, we can understand that Hashem's divine presence, the Shekhinah, dwells between the married couple. It is his divine presence that allows peace and affection to reign between the two diverse souls. Or Hanoch would describe it as the two different species. Male is a different species than female, and female is a different species than male. I say this so that you can recognize the true disparity between male and female consciousness. Continuing. If we are not sensitive to Hashem's Shekhinah, it simply leaves. To merit his divine presence in our midst, we must constantly cleanse and purify ourselves to higher and higher levels by examining the intricacies of our actions and thoughts and creating a true dwelling place for Hashem in our world. Slichot. The Slichot ritual is performed during the month of Elul. The Sephardim start on the 2nd of Elul, which is what we will do tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Pacific time. And the Ashkenazim start on the Motzi Shabbat, after the last Shabbat, prior to Rosh Hashanah, in about 3 weeks. Most people think that slichot is a request for forgiveness, since the word slicha means forgiveness. The Kabbalists teach a totally different understanding. The shoresh of slichot is slach, samach lamed chet. The gematria of slach is 98, which is tzadichet. Sach, Tzadichet, has the meaning of cleansing. That is what the Slichot ritual is all about, cleansing. The tools of cleansing used in the Slichot ritual are 1, prayers that are in the order of the Hebrew Aleph Bet. Why? Because whenever you say the Aleph Bet in order of sequence, Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet, etc., all the way to Tav, when you say the Aleph Bet in this order, when you pray, when you say verses that start with the Aleph Bet in that order, or when you say verses that start, that end with the Aleph Bet in that order, or in the reverse order, Taf, Shin, Resh, Kuf, Sadi, Pei, etc. This is the reverse order. All of these are included in prayers said in the order of the Aleph Bet. The second part of the sleep-out ritual is the lower 13 attributes of mercy. Not the upper 13. Not the 13 attributes connected to Aricha and Pin, but the 13 attributes connected to Zera and Pin. And three, the blowing of the shofar itself. We're going to skip the link here, but it is available also on the Unique Astrological Times landing page. The order of the particular ritual of Slichot. All Slichot rituals start with the Ashrei Psalm. This psalm is based on the order of the Aleph Bet, and we have learned in the Kabbalah that when we say the order of the Aleph Bet, we are putting our lives in order. The only reason that chaos continues in our life after this is said is because we do not permanently change ourselves with this statement. It works slowly, but it works, constantly improving our order, our Seder in our lives.
Hey there, my name is Dr. Dave.
You have a question? When we say, the minion says the Chatzi Kaddish, the half Kaddish, that is used as an elevator to rise up or to lower ourselves. We don't normally say the Chatzi Kaddish, which makes our elevation through the ritual a little more difficult. The third aspect, Lecha Hashem, it connects to the Sefirah of Bina through the gematria of 50 of the first word, which means either go or you. Lecha is spelled Lamed Chet. Lamed Chet can, with certain vowels, less means go. It's a command. Go away. When said with different vowels, lecha, it means for yourself. It means you go away. You. Why do we want to connect to Bina so often? Because Bina acts as an energy store to provide the energy of cleansing. As we cleanse ourselves, we release energy that has been protecting us, that has been keeping that negative aspect distant. When we cleanse that negative aspect, the energy is no longer needed to keep it at bay, and the energy elevates. We say the 13 attributes of mercy, the ones from Zeran Pin. And there is enough number of classes that I have given on this subject. we utilize it daily in our current methods of the Anabakoach, in the normal way we start our classes. Next comes a prayer, Shema Kolenu, a confession of our negative attributes. And it leads into the Vidui, the stronger confession. There is a link to a traditional translation of the Vidui as well as an alternative translation. Again, I have given a number of classes on this subject. Next, we say a prayer in the order of the Aleph-Bet. The prayer is Aseh Lema'an. And then the Anenu request, answer us. Or is it a demand? Can you demand from Hashem? Can you demand from your spouse? Can a child demand from their father? These questions you need to answer for yourselves. There are some prayers intermixed in the Slichot ritual that do not follow the Aleph Bet. That doesn't mean they're not cleansing words. The Atanu Lichalot allows us to confront our own negativity. And again, the 13 attributes of mercy. Now the song, Vayomer David, is said while grounding our own negativity, which is done by leaning our forehead on our left arms. The next song is Shomer Yisrael, Guard Israel, which is a request for the Creator's mercy. Having prayed sitting, standing, and bowing down, we no longer know what to do. After asking for cleansing and mercy, we also do not know what else we can do. So we ask the Creator to do for us what is the correct thing for us, whatever that would be. And we end the process with the Kaddish. And you will find on the Unique Astrological Times link an alternative Kaddish that can be said without a minyan. In every step, we can add additional prayers, and that is the custom and the minhag of many different communities. This ritual takes about a half hour to do. I think it will be a little longer for us this year because I am planning to add some additional items in the process. There are communities, especially within the Sephardic minhag, the Sephardic custom, that will take a whole hour. And for those people in the Sephardic minyan who get up for nets, to get up at that moment when the sun crests the horizon, which is at this time of year around 6 o'clock, they will arrive at the synagogue at 5 o'clock. So they do not miss the connection to the minion. And they do not miss the next minion. That's the end of today's class. Does anyone have any questions? Kodesh Tov, we will have a class at 3 o'clock relating to our advanced reincarnation. I hope you will join us. Shalom to all. Kodesh Tov.
Shalom. Kodesh Tov. Thank you.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.